Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. We roll along talking local sports and some other local happenings as well. We're glad to have you with us today, and this will be the first day where we aren't all sports, and I guess really if you look back on things, maybe since Thursday or Friday, nothing has really been all sports. Sports have come to a halt. And the coronavirus, COVID-19, as it's known, has kind of dominated every aspect of our life. And so with sports slowing down, we're going to always keep a watchful eye on what's going on at IU. There's still a number of things to track. Obviously, no on-the-field competitions, no spring sports. Recruiting is to a halt, but there are plenty of things to track, plenty of interviews to have. But we're also going to kind of keep an eye on the community. And today will be one of our first community-oriented guests. He's been on the show before. Mike Moore, the mayor of Jeffersonville, will join us in the second half of the program. I'm sure that we'll work some sports in. Mike, obviously a big supporter of the Red Devils, big basketball, big sports guy, really. He's been on the show before talking sports and other topics more normal to this program. But he'll be with us, and we're going to do that here and there throughout the week and in the coming weeks, we assume, as this situation continues. But welcome into the show today. Lots of IU talk, lots of local sports talk. In addition to all of that, we're glad to have you with us. Let's take a look at the Honey Baked Ham guest lineup, show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines. That's how we begin the show every day. A look at the top sports news here, IU and Southern Indiana related news coming up here in just a few moments. And we'll also sprinkle in some other what I think is pretty important news right now. Another death in the state of Indiana. I believe Johnson County is where the person is from or was from, but also even closer to home, a second case of the coronavirus confirmed in Floyd County yesterday. Still no cases as of today, at least known cases in Clark County. But very interesting to track this thing over the next few days and the next week to see how big of a problem we're going to have as more tests become available, as more people have symptoms that match up what they're being told the coronavirus is and go to local hospitals and health centers. It's going to be interesting and really pretty concerning, to be quite honest, to watch and see. So we'll talk about that. Also some IU things. The Derby has been postponed. That secret got out of the bag last night. It was announced that there was going to be a press conference this morning at 9 o'clock, but I tell you what, just minutes after that press conference, there were some sources out there saying it's going to be moved to September 5th, and that's exactly what was announced this morning, so I'm sure that we'll talk about that some. Also, odds to win a national championship if you want to have fun, they're already out from Bet Online, and a number of Big Ten teams on the board in some form or fashion. Yes, Indiana on the board. We'll tell you about that coming up here in just a second. Also, kind of an interesting note on a couple on IU's two seniors, Devontae Green and Deron Davis, that we'll cover. Jordan Geronimo will take a look at his postseason stats and some awards that he is bringing in as well. And Pigs.com, Jeff Rabjohns, Mike Pegram with an in-depth story yesterday for subscribers about two front runners that appear to be emerging for the IU athletic director job. So we will mention that as well. And if we have time, we'll mention a little high school baseball note. I'm not sure that we're going to have spring sports and be graced with high school baseball here in the state of Indiana or really anywhere this year with everything going on. But if so, we've got some pretty good teams that were projected in early rankings to have good seasons. And we'll talk about that coming up here in just a bit as well. Let's get into That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off a box lunch at Honey Baked Ham. I know they have some other specials going on right now. Don't forget, Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, still open. Carry out business, still good. You can get your ham, your turkey breast, your box lunch, lots of options there. Take it to go, obviously, as you typically would. And things still rolling at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany with some deals there. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU in Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Drive-through still open at those locations if you want to go get some of those great Zaxby's chicken and chicken tenders and sandwiches and salads as well that they have available there. But a look at some of the day's top news, top information out there. First, if you need any reminding that this deal is serious, the Kentucky Derby, another major sporting event, will not happen this year. And we're not talking about the NCAA tournament or the postponement of the NBA, the NHL, leagues that are going on right now. We're talking about an event that's not scheduled originally to take place until the first Saturday in May. So obviously reaching out that far, postponing events that are in May at this time is where we're at. And the Kentucky Derby will live to see another day. It's been moved to September. Surely by September, we are back to a somewhat normal life. We are back somewhat to public events being a normal thing. But again, if you need any reminding that this is serious, this isn't a fraud, this isn't something that's being made up, when you see big events that greatly affect the tradition of the American sports landscape and also, obviously, the economy of Louisville and very far beyond being postponed. And again, we're talking about May, not something in March, not something in April, but something, and it is early May, but being moved, I think that gives you the severity of what's going on and how this could get, to be quite honest. So the Kentucky Derby moved. I saw rumors, and I did not see the press conference this morning, that Thunder over Louisville would be moved into mid to late August as well. So it looks like it won't just be the Derby itself, but some of the great Derby festival events, which many do include Southern Indiana and some of our local communities as well. So that's something, obviously, that's a big challenge right now and a big news item, even though we maybe expected it was coming, rumored that it might be coming, when you finally hear something like the Derby that happens every year on the first Saturday in May is moving, obviously, it's a big deal. Couple IU notes. Already, the odds out for the 2021 NCAA Men's Basketball National Championship, a number of Big Ten teams on the board. I'll go through those. Michigan State, 12-1 odds, the highest in the Big Ten Conference. The best pick, you could say, at this early, way too early time of the offseason. Wisconsin, 20-1. Ohio State, 28-1. Michigan, 33-1. Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Penn State, and Purdue, all 50-1 odds. It kills me to even talk about anything for next season yet because, A, we should be in the middle of March Madness right now or getting ready to jump smack dab in the middle of it. I guess you hate to think of it this way. Tonight would be the first four games in Dayton, the first four, it's called, in Dayton. And then, of course, later this week would be the first and second rounds at sites across the country. But instead of talking about that stuff and some of the great games and IU, I'm sure, in the bracket, we're talking about picks for next year. And again, we are over a year away from the 2021 championship in NCAA basketball. Interesting here, there's been some talk about spring sports and those players with their season being canceled by the NCAA and at different levels of college as well, being given an extra year of eligibility to play college sports. And some would tell you that they would like to see that happen for college basketball as well. Yes, they got the regular season in. No, they didn't get the conference tournaments in and the NCAA tournament, obviously. But interesting, Aaron Mattis from WDRB in Louisville had a tweet earlier this week that he spoke with Deron Davis. He had a nice interview with both he and Devontae Green and mentioned that, hey, what if this was an option? What if you could come back? And he said, Deron Davis, and this is, I'm just reading from his tweet, Deron told me today that he and Devontae discussed that option and are ready to move on from IU to see what's next. So as that talk maybe continues, maybe something is voted on, maybe it's not, maybe it sputters out, It sounds like, according to Deron Davis, he and Devontae Green would both be out anyways, moving on to what's next, perhaps in their basketball careers. Also, Jordan Geronimo, member of the 2020 class at Indiana, he was named All-New England in the NEPSAC Class A of New England Prep School Basketball, their athletic association there. He finishes the season 18 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 2 assists per game. Very solid season, and I think most exciting about Jordan Geronimo, some of the highlights we saw come out on his athletic moves and his slam dunks, and a very interesting player who many will tell you, including his high school, his prep school coach that we've had on this show, his best days of basketball very, very likely ahead of him, as he's kind of known as a late bloomer, kind of known as someone that's a great athlete that still has some work to do as far as getting to, you know, a basketball player that can exceed at the Big Ten level. But exciting to watch this guy, no question about it. One other quick headline here in this first segment, Pigs.com reporting yesterday, 2 front runners have emerged for the IU athletic director position. Of course, change being made based on the retirement of the current athletic director at the end of the school year. And according to Pigs.com, Scott Dolson, who's currently the IU deputy director of athletics, and Chris Reynolds, former IU basketball player, who is currently the Bradley athletic director, are the 2 front runners in this race, according to what Pigs.com has been told. If you're a subscriber of the site, they break the whole thing down for you, and you can read the story at Pigs.com. That's a look at the headlines. Our Zaxby's headlines, brought to you each day by Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and be joined on this Tuesday by Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg just got off the phone with the NCAA tournament, he tweeted just minutes ago, with the NCAA, I should say, and had some questions for them, and I know he's working on a column about that, but we'll talk with him about that, all the crazy happenings going on, or maybe I should say not going on right now, and a lot more coming your way next on this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star coming up in this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. And don't forget, in the second half of the show today, Jeffersonville Mayor Mike Moore will be in studio. We'll talk sports. We'll talk COVID-19. We'll talk what's going on in Jeffersonville and a lot more with the mayor when he joins us coming up in just a bit. But right now, it's all Greg. Greg presented by Coffee Crossing, who reminds you of their newest location located in downtown New Albany. They've turned their own bakery at 140 East Main Street in New Albany into the 5th Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. Greg, crazy times in sports, crazy times in the world right now. I have a feeling this is going to be a great segment with you today, because so often you do a great job transcending not just sports. But I want to start with this. Where were you when the NCAA tournament was canceled, and what were your immediate thoughts and reaction?
Oh, well, that's a loaded question, because where I was writing a story about the Big Ten tournament getting canceled. It was Thursday or something, and I'd gone around Indianapolis, and I'd gone to Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and I'm looking at the way they've wadded up just all this signage at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Big Ten tournament signs are just garbage. They're just wadded up in garbage, and I'm writing this story about that, and yet trying to figure out in my story what happens next. We still got the NCAA tournament out there, and so I've written my story, like 1,500 words, and I file it to my bosses, and I'm done. And my bosses text me back, like 4 words: NCAA tournament just canceled. And I'm literally on my, my kitchen table where I write, I'm banging my head on my table for all kinds of reasons. A is, I don't want this thing canceled. But in the exact moment, like, I just wrote a story that you're telling me just became 1,500 words of utter crap, because no longer is the Big Ten tournament. Hey, one day later, let's talk about that. No, that story's done. Let's move on to something bigger. So it was crushing for a whole lot of reasons. I'm still crushed. I don't know. I know a lot of us are. The coronavirus is scary. I mean, that's bigger than sports. We all get that. I don't want to hear anybody show me how PC you can be. And there's bigger things to worry about. Yeah, I get it. But can we worry about the little stuff, too, and how depressing it is to have this month going on with nothing?
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I'm curious, and I think you just gave us a little preview into it, but your take on this whole thing. You run into some people, probably a lot like me, that are worrywarts, that think this is something that, you know, we need to stay at home, need to stay pretty much secluded, need to take all these warnings very serious and not see something like China or Italy happen right here in America, in the great state of Indiana, in southern Indiana, where I call home. And then there are other people that, on the way to the studio this morning, there are people out and about. There are people, I guess you're not in restaurants necessarily anymore, but there are people going in and out of them. There are people gathered on the beaches in Florida, amazing photos of that, like nothing is going on in our world. What's your take on this and how serious this deal is and could be over the next month or longer?
I was talking to Mark Emmert, who's the NCAA president, yesterday. And so I've got a story coming up soon about the whole process of canceling the tournament as opposed to postponing it at first. And I'm not telling you that to promote the story or whatever. I'm telling you that because he put it into words what I kind of knew, but just to hear someone that smart say it just like this. He was talking about postponing the tournament, and he said it's, they had a panel, I didn't realize this, they had a panel, a coronavirus panel of experts back in early March, eyeballing this whole thing as it was happening and trying to, get out in front of what we do about our big tournament coming up in two or three weeks. So they were trying to be prepared anyway. They were, sad to say, right every step of the way about what was happening and what was going to happen. He said, our experts say we can't postpone it because this thing's only going to get a lot worse in the next month or two. And if we postpone it, that's why they tried to shorten it to a Sweet 16 just to get it over with. They tried to, and that wasn't going to happen. But they looked at postponing it for about 10 seconds and realized that it's literally leaning in, as he said, we'd be leaning into the peak of the virus if we postpone this thing. There's just, like, it's only going to get worse. Like, whatever devastation we think we're going through right now, the mushroom cloud of this virus is, it hasn't even lifted yet, so we can see just how bad it's going to be. I don't mean to be Mr. Doomsday. The world's not ending or anything, but where we are right now is, we're going to look back in about 3 weeks and say, boy, do I miss where we were on March 17th, because on March 17th, life was pretty easy compared to this crap. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, pretty scary to think about. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, and I agree wholeheartedly with you. I think this is only just beginning. And then today, locally, we've talked a lot about this in your time on this show and your time at the Indianapolis Star. The Indy 500 is a big deal, and I'm not sure what you're hearing about that, but to people in southern Indiana, there are some that make it an annual deal, but for most, it's odd. It's not as big a deal. I've always said maybe south of Seymour is what it is to obviously central Indiana and even the rest of the state. And I feel exactly the same on the Kentucky Derby here in far southern Indiana. Obviously, it's huge. It involves our local economy in so many different ways. But again, once you get to a certain point, yeah, you may watch the race, but I'm not sure how involved people get in the event itself and some of the things that build up to it. But it was announced this morning that it's going to be canceled. There were rumors of that yesterday to not canceled, but postponed to September 5th, and some of the events that surround that, including the Derby, are big economic tools for the area. And again, not just Louisville in the state of Kentucky, but southern Indiana as well. And I think if anybody needed a reminder that this is serious, when it's postponed to September, and we're not talking about an event that's scheduled for later this month in March, we're not talking an event that's scheduled for late April, we're talking about an event that's scheduled for the month of May, when things that far out are being canceled, being postponed, that underscores to me what you just said. It's going to be damn serious.
Yeah. The 500 is, nothing's been announced. I'm not breaking news. I don't know. But, we all kind of know. That's not happening. There's just no, the sport, an event like the 500, an event like March Madness, these things are, you know, they're like the Titanic, and I don't mean that in the worst way, although I kind of do, I guess. They're just too big. These events are too big, and the iceberg out there is not moving and actually coming closer, and there's just no way to get out of the way of it, some things. Like, you can be nimble. Like, the UFC is going to – they're going to have the Tony Ferguson versus Habib fight scheduled for mid-April. That's going to happen, Dana White says, and I believe him, because that's two people in a cage, and there will be a few people in a cage, but not a lot. And they can move that thing. That thing can happen. They can put that on in Guam somewhere. They'll find an island, stage that thing, and put it on pay-per-view and make probably break records, because we'll all be so eager for sports of any kind. Even people who don't like fights will buy that thing just to watch anything. So, but that's small. You can be nimble with that. You can't be nimble with the 500, with the Kentucky Derby, with the NCAA tournament. So, and I mean, every time President Trump makes a declaration, and I'm not saying this negatively, it's worse. Like it was. We're gonna ban, you know, meetings of this size. The size are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Like, now we're down to what, 50 people or more. Like, now, like, you can't go to LA Fitness anymore. So yeah, it's just, we'd all have to brace ourselves. I'm sure most of us are, but yeah, it's just gonna get worse. And you know, for people like you and people like me, and granted, our problems are not, these are first world problems, but what are we doing for the next few months? Like, I'd like to have a job. I'd like to get paid. I'd like to write something, and I'll find stuff to do. I always do, but not everybody's going to be able to do what I do, which is just, you know, travel around. Here's a gym that they played basketball in 80 years ago. Let's write about the floor here. You know, I can do that, but not everybody can, and you can't talk about that. So, I don't, you know, this sucks for everybody.
Yeah, no question. Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. I do want to get into a couple quick sports things before we let you go.
Can we talk about some good news real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
Are you aware of the Jim Irsay $1 million challenge?
Yes, to an extent. You were asked to be involved in that, right?
Yeah, the damnedest thing. I've been here almost 6 years, five and a half, and I've spoken to Irsay a time or two privately once. By privately, I mean I had an interview in his office, one-on-one. And I guess, you know, outside locker rooms, he'll sit in a golf cart and we'll talk to him. So I've been there, but I've never spoken to him on the phone ever. Never. And then today's what, Tuesday? So Sunday night at about 8 o'clock, my phone rings. It's the number, you know, it's a blocked caller ID, so I can't see who it is. It's Jim Irsay, talking like he talks, which is to say he goes on for 20 minutes. And this is true. Literally after we hung up, I had to call his right-hand man to get a translation of what just happened. What was – I think he said this, but I'm not sure. And what Irsay – because Irsay, I mean, he's smart, but he goes off in circles. But he basically said that because he knows that the schools around Marion County, the IPS schools, and all over the state, they feed so many kids that don't have, you know, they're impoverished, kind of, you know, under the poverty line. They, with free meals, reduced meals, these kids eat their breakfast and lunch at school. And without that, a lot of them don't, you know, it's called being food insecure. That's what the translation, food insecurity. There's 200,000 people with food insecurity just in Marion County alone, not knowing where your next meal is coming from. So these schools feed these kids. And on weekends, and I didn't know any of this stuff, but I do now, on weekends, schools send the kids home with backpacks of food. And during spring break and Christmas break, they have pickup spots available at the schools where you can come and get free food, not just for you, but for your families. And even for the neighborhoods, they can come and get food. I didn't know. Well, Irsay knew. And he knew that without the schools being closed, these kids are going to go hungry. Or at the very least, their food insecurity will be stressed much more than it ever has been. So what he wanted was, if I would write a story saying, telling local folks, hey, look, here's the deal. Jim Irsay, you know, the food's, there's a shortage here, but Irsay doesn't want to write a check out of nowhere. He'd like us to take some ownership here. If we can raise $200,000 for Gleaners Food Bank, and that's just one of the many, but if we can generate $200,000 for Gleaners Food Bank, he will then write a check for $1 million to Gleaners Food Bank. And I know a lot of people are like, well, why don't you just write the check anyway? And I don't know this, but I suspect he will anyway, but I don't know that. But that's missing the point. The point is not, hey, just do it. The point is, hey, let's all take ownership. Let's not just wait for some rich guy to come in and save the world for us. Let's all say, hey, I care about those people. I can afford $8. Then write a check for $8. So that was his challenge to me and to Indianapolis. And I wasn't sure I could even write this. I don't know what the ethics are. I have no idea. My bosses say, yeah, you can write this. So I then woke up yesterday morning, Monday morning, and drove out to a food line and saw people. And you've never you just don't know. You don't know what people are going through. To see people walk up to a food truck with their head down because they're ashamed, and to be handed food and then to walk home. To see that happen, here I am, first world problems, talking about what am I going to write about for the next 3 months? Yeah, dumbass, what are they going to eat for the next 3 months? So I saw that and talked to school superintendents and food bank people, and anyway, wrote the story. It went up last night, and I don't know where it stands. I don't think we've raised $200,000 yet. We might be halfway there, but long story, but that's
you contribute online? Good, how do you contribute? How do you contribute?
Well, the story's a free read. You don't have to subscribe to the Star. Just click on the story. There's a link in there. It's not a Star link. It's a Gleaners Food Bank, which is a statewide known thing. They've got a link and they make it easy. I mean, not to be a jerk here, but I mean, I contributed easily. I went on there, you click the link, and you type in whatever, however you want to do it, and it's over in 30 seconds. So and there's a thermometer. There's a thermometer there, and let me hit refresh and just see where it stands right now, so we can see how close we are. It's pretty easy. It's on my Twitter. It's my pinned tweet. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I thought you were checking. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. yeah, I am checking. Anyway, it's a pinned tweet. Oh, my gosh, we're 144,000.
Good
we're
deal.
We're 144. I woke up this morning, and we need 200. I woke up this morning, it was at 75. It's gone to 144. So this is going to happen. Anyway,
I'll send you a contribution at noon when we get off air in support of you coming on each week. We appreciate it very much.
56, good. You got 56,000. That's how close we are.
I can't get 56,000, but I'll shoot you something. You know that. So
good work
though, Greg. As always, it makes you a great guest. We talk more than sports always, and I know that this time is it would be that way. Let me do ask one sports question, if I can transition from that briefly. IU fans, you can't really moan and cry because we are in the middle of a crisis, obviously a health crisis. But can you imagine what this has been like for not just Indiana? We'll use Indiana as an example, but for teams and for coaches and some of the private moments maybe that they've shared together. As teams, after it was announced that conference tournaments and then the NCAA tournament would be canceled. I can't even imagine it. And again, we can't blow this out of proportion because there are so many more serious things about this. But can you imagine what some of the intimate conversations have been like between coaches and teams, coaches and senior players especially?
Yeah, and I wrote this a couple days ago. Kind of cold. I mean, I guess I wrote it in a way that wasn't cold, I hope, but saying, listen, for guys like Deron Davis and Devontae Green, you know, I named them, obviously, this sucks that you lost your tournament, you lost your last March, your only March Madness in their case, but you can't come back. There's just no – it's like the Titanic example I gave. The college basketball is too big. We can't just start rewriting rules and adding people because it's just not that easy. You know, I don't need to get into the long list of stuff, but it's not as easy as just, well, just give them scholarship. It's not that easy. There's so many unintended consequences, that we don't even know about yet, but I can tell you right now, it'd be terrible if they do that. So sometimes just life sucks. And right now life sucks in a lot of ways, and it sucks for guys like Devontae Green, Deron Davis. And they've never been in the tournament, and now they never will. And, you know, Scott Van Pelt of ESPN has a big old heart. I mean, he was at the Tyler Trent service. I mean, he was at Tyler Trent's service because he and Tyler were friends. So I mean, he's got a huge heart, Scott. So he's got this nightly thing he's doing called Senior Night, I think, on his ESPN show, where he just highlights a group of kids and a bunch of groups of kids that, you know, won't get their senior season send-off the way they deserved. And so it's not just, obviously, it's not just IU, but it is IU right now. And it's not quite heartbreaking because we've been talking about some other stuff. Like I just described literally watching little kids walk up to a food truck to get their lunch for the day. That's heartbreaking, but this, as I say, this sucks.
Yeah, no question. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, thanks so much. Thanks for the work you do in addition to your great columns. Stay healthy, stay safe, and I look forward to continue our conversations as we move along.
I appreciate you and Coffee Crossing for letting me come on your show. Thank you so much, man.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, always good stuff. And I'll retweet the link after the show if you want to contribute to the Jim Irsay deal, fundraising deal that he mentioned a little bit earlier in this segment. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Mayor Moore of Jeffersonville, he's in studio with me here at the Big X, and we're going to talk about COVID-19. We're going to talk about some good things in the city of Jeffersonville, and I'm sure that we'll work sports into the conversation as well. That all comes your way next. This is a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Tuesday program. I said earlier in the week, you know, with sports coming to a close, coming to a halt, we want to continue on here with a local show, not only about sports, but we're going to mix in some other things as we talk about this coronavirus situation that obviously is not just affecting the world or the country. It's affecting us right here in Southern Indiana and in the Hoosier State as well. So we're going to talk with some different guests, and one of the first non-sports guests that we've had in a while, although I have a feeling we'll talk some sports today, is Mike Moore. He's the mayor of Jeffersonville, and he's with me here at the Big X right now to talk about a lot of different subjects. Mayor, thanks so much. I know it's a different time for you, for city operations, and of course for residents of Jeff and Southern Indiana and really our state and country. But definitely some concerning times right now when you see events, public events, sporting events, events that we look forward to as Hoosiers year in and year out, not on the docket right now.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And, you know, it is kind of an unusual time. And so much of our lives are spent in the evenings or on weekends watching sporting events. So, you know, not having, a golf tournament or a basketball game on the air on the weekends, you do tend to find a little idle time on your hands, and time gets a little more boring. But it's a very serious situation the world is going through right now. And, on a personal level for me, the impact has been, I've had a couple of situations here that caused me some concern. Actually, today is my mother's 84th birthday. So happy birthday, Mom.
Yes.
And she's always said she was Irish because she was born on St. Patrick's Day. But she's in Florida now, and, you know, she's wanting to get out and do things. And all four of us kids are reassuring her that, you know, hey, you know, we'll get there. You can do this later, but stay in. And I think as far as Jeffersonville is concerned, you know, those are words that, you know, if you're at any age, you need to be a little more mindful of things you do. But especially anyone my age or older, I'm 55 now, but let's take some precautions. Let's be a little more careful. It's unfortunate that the restaurants and bars are being shut down. I know Hoopsters, Phil Caldwell and Stephanie are good friends of mine. I went and picked up carry out yesterday from lunch there. And, it's the small business owners that are going to really feel the pinch. So help them out when you can. It's going to be a struggle. It reminds me a lot of, you know, I had Jerry's Restaurant for years and years, and it reminds me of September 11th, 2001 and the after effects. Small businesses got hit very hard, and I can see, you know, some of that coming this way. And I don't want to scare anybody into, you know, something that we may be able to get a control of, but I don't think we're going to get a control of it here in the next 2 or 3 months. So let's be mindful, let's be cautious, and let's try and support the small business owners out there in any way we can. My daughter Allie scared me to death. She's been on spring break in Ireland for the last 2 weeks, and she She went over for a couple of days to Barcelona, Spain. So she got back in last night, but there was a big struggle getting her through international airports. And she is self-quarantined right now for the next 14 days. And, I'm glad she's home, but I'm going to stay away from her for 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Mike Moore, Jeffersonville mayor, in studio with me today, talking about the coronavirus, and we're going to get into some other subjects as well. But, Mayor, I wanted to ask you, what do city operations look like for you guys right now? I know that you have a lot of essential operations. Police and fire always come to mind. You've also got to think about roads and streets and things like that. And some of those things that no matter what's going on, if a city's going to function even at its basic level, those people are out there sometime on the first line.
Yeah, I had my department heads all come in, and we had a sit-down meeting last Friday and told them at that time that's probably going to be the last group meeting we have for some time. But, the people of Jeffersonville still need their fire, police protection. Sanitation is crucial. There are some things that you just cannot, cut back on. So sanitation is a huge part, and, trash is going to continue to be collected. The Parks Department, with the employees out mowing grass, that season is coming upon us. So, a lot of the manual labor jobs will continue, but you walk in City Hall right now and it's a skeleton crew in there. And, it kind of reminds me of, maybe what life would be like if I retired. And I'm in my third term now, and I love my job, but I come into City Hall here the last 2 days and it's just too doggone quiet. And it makes me rethink in retirement, because I'm a firm believer if you love what you're doing, keep doing it. So this is kind of given me some thought to, hey, I'm not quite ready for retirement because I don't like this slow pace. So I'm staying busy. I'm moving around, but I'm trying to stay away from people, just like the advice we give everyone. Don't congregate and don't socialize any more than you have to. I've got pudding that comes along with me every day, and my dog's by my side, and that's going to continue. But just exploring and trying to find things to do, and but the city of Jeff will continue on, and it'll be a little quiet. People are just going to have to make an adjustment, but we'll get through it. We'll be fine.
One more question on the current coronavirus situation and how it affects us locally in Jeffersonville. Do you have a feeling, and I know we won't hold you to this, but as you talk to your health department and other officials I know you're in communication with at state level and otherwise, do you have a feeling how long this could affect not just this area but really our country? Is this a 8-week deal? Is this a 4-month deal? Do you have any kind of read on that, what you're being told?
I think at a minimum it's a 2-month deal. I think beyond that is where the questions lie. But when you see the stock market and you see national sporting events being canceled, folks, that stuff doesn't happen because a couple of people are nervous. That happens because there's something out there that is affecting the world, and we need to pay attention to it. We had a city council meeting last night, and a couple of council members, I think, were questioning, are we going, overstepping some of the precautions? I'm not an expert, but I listen to experts. And, if scientists and doctors are saying we need to take these precautions, I don't think we question them. And, the grocery stores are obviously a very popular place to go right now. This isn't a conspiracy. This isn't a scare tactic. This is very serious, but the way to beat it is to cut down on social involvement. So I do think, there's light at the end of the tunnel, but I think that's at least 2 months out, and we will recover. Jeffersonville is a very strong city, and the United States, the strongest country in the world. We're going to battle back from this, but from time to time, you get a challenge, and when you get a challenge, you got to stand up and do what's right, and we're going to do that. But we do need to be paying attention to our national leaders and the doctors who are saying take these precautions. So don't take it lightly. Don't think somebody out there is just pulling your leg. Don't think the media is trying to build something up that's not true. It's real, and we need to pay attention to it, but I'm confident we'll get past it.
Absolutely. Mike Moore, mayor of Jeffersonville, with me in studio here on this Tuesday radio program. Third term, not all that long ago, you were reelected to your third term, which began at the first of this year, 2020, and things rolling for you, things rolling for the city of Jeffersonville. I know we're talking about some negative stuff obviously affecting the area, the country right now, but generally, I know that you are very excited about Jeff and very excited about some of the accomplishments, and it sure seems the people have seen those same things.
Yeah, you know, a third term, I don't take that lightly. I feel extremely blessed. Over the last 8 years, my life has been, you know, all about Jeffersonville, and my life's been all about my kids. This past July, I met somebody very special at church, Jamie Spurgeon is now my fiance.
Congratulations.
The next chapter of my life is I'm going to get married here in about 2 months, and I'm real excited about that. But leading the city of Jeffersonville is the greatest job in the world, and there's a lot of great things going on around here. And I love that my kids are coming up to an age to where they're, you know, getting into the real world. College is coming to a close, and they're experiencing the next chapter of their life. So, you know, I'm 55. I'll be 56 here, middle of May, and marriage is just around the corner. I'm looking forward to that, and you know, we'll see what's next, but. I've got a job I wouldn't trade with anybody, and as long as I can do it and the people want to keep me around, I want to continue to be their mayor.
Let's talk about some of the new things or some of the improvements in Jeffersonville. I know a number of things have happened under your watch, a number of things moving forward now. Let's continue that. Hope that that continues given the current situation, but highlight a couple things that you think have changed Jeff for the better and the most important ways.
Well, we've seen Jeffersonville's the conversation of the nightly news. And, you know, and you only get that for two reasons: if something really bad's going on, or if something really good's going on. And you know, you watch the local news channels or you read the newspapers, there's always stories about Jeff, and they're always positive. We've created a fun atmosphere. We've created a buzz, and we're doing things a little bit different. You know, our arts and cultural district, for instance, is something unique to the area. All of a sudden, one of the cities around southern Indiana is putting a lot of attention on our arts and cultural atmosphere. And that's just something, you know, some people may take for granted, but that's a whole group of people that have never really had an opportunity to express themselves. Well, guess what? You can do that in downtown Jeff now, and we're spreading it out throughout the whole city. But we've created a very electric restaurant buzz downtown and on Veterans Parkway. River Ridge has given us an economic tool. You know, thousands and thousands of really good paying jobs are coming to the city of Jeff, and they have over the last 8 years. But they're different than the jobs that you and I grew up with around here. You know, they are now college-degreed careers. So we've got Fortune 500 companies coming in and hiring thousands of employees, and one of the prerequisites is, hey, they need a college degree. So that's how we build a stronger Jeffersonville. We've been paying a whole lot of attention to the road infrastructure projects in our city, making it better for the next 20 or 30 years. We've paid a whole lot of attention to our Parks and Recreation Department, Chapel Lake Park, which is a new park in the East End that surrounds 1,600 households around Crystal Springs and Steeplechase. That will be opening here in a few months. It's a 116-acre park, nature trails all through it. So it's just, you know, whatever you're looking for, you're a company looking for a strong place to build your business. River Ridge and Jeffersonville is key to that. You want a family atmosphere. Jeffersonville is strong with that. And we've got some great partnerships with our schools. So Jeffersonville is very special to me. It's been a perfect place to raise my children. And I think everybody else that's come into Jeffersonville has discovered just how cool things are in our city.
Jeff Mayer, Mike Moore with me today. We're talking about coronavirus. We're talking about Jeffersonville. And I want to get into a little bit of sports with you as well before we close out. I will never forget. Of course, people know I'm from New Albany, involved in New Albany in a number of different ways, but basketball at the high school, one of those things. I'll never forget your very friendly text that you send me on game day, and I will leave the, and of course I'm joking, but I will leave the details of the text message out of our radio conversation. But clearly, you are very proud of sports in Jeffersonville, the history of sports in Jeffersonville, and really, I know that you're a big Southern Indiana sports fan and a fan of sports in general. And again, we, like I said to Greg, we want to be careful because we're in a time where this stuff truly doesn't matter, but it's something to talk about, and it is something to feel for some local players and coaches that qualified for the regional, won sectional championships, but don't get a chance, it doesn't look like, to move on in the state tournament. I know there's talk that it's postponed, they're going to try to reschedule. Just something absolutely unprecedented to see some really quality teams, some Clark and Floyd counties, likely not get the chance to move on. And I know that as someone that supports the whole area, just kind of a very different feeling when you think about the work that go, you know, you've had kids that played sports, you were a sports person yourself, just a different feeling when you know all the work that went in from the coaches and players, and that that may not be something that ultimately they're able to grab a championship because of something out of everyone's control.
Well, very true. And I go Big Red, you know, those are words that are going to be with me forever. Was a Jeff High basketball fan from the age 2 years old on, but the rivalries that we have around here is what makes it special. And I do feel for the kids, especially from Silver Creek and Floyd Central, and the others around the area. Christian Academy had a strong season as well, but you know, I can tell you, my son going up through Little League, we thought they were state champions as 11-year-olds. Brent Falkenstein took a group of young men from age 5 up through 12, and we had the powerhouse at 12 years old. And some of the greatest memories I have are watching those group of boys play Little League baseball. But when they lost in the semifinals of the state championship at 12 years old, it was devastating, but it was a life experience I'd never take away or do without. So for all these young men and women who, you know, have excelled in sports, life you're going to find is full of challenges. It is heartbreaking that your seasons got stopped. And but, you know, we grow from the pain and the mistakes that are made in our lives. And we'll grow from this as well. Incredible seasons for, you know, some of the young men in particular, Hyde Breeder and Kaufman from Silver Creek and Floyd Central, but they've got bigger and better things ahead of them, and let's keep things in perspective. Sports are fantastic, and they're a way to get our minds off of things, but right now there's something more pressing, and we'll get to it. We'll get through it, and hopefully come fall we'll be back to doing those high school sports again.
Absolutely. Mayor Mike Moore of Jeffersonville with me today on the Hoosier Report. As we let you go and get back to things, any final message to the people of Jeffersonville and Southern Indiana listening today?
Well, just please be cautious. I'm not one of these people that gets on the national news and says things. I'm telling you this as your friend and as your mayor. We'll be all right, but take the precautionary measures we're being told to take. And we'll learn from this. You know, I've told my three kids that, you know, this is a life experience that hopefully 20, 30 years from now, you're going to recognize how to handle an adverse situation better because you went through this. So we'll get through it, but don't take any unnecessary risks. And again, Mom, happy birthday. I love you.
Absolutely. Mike Moore, Mayor of Jeffersonville. And we're going to do this from time to time here over the next few weeks or perhaps longer, bring in some community guests. We'll work in sports, but we want to keep you updated with things going on right here in Southern Indiana and, of course, with the COVID coronavirus situation as well. Mayor, thank you for coming in. I know you've got lots to take a look at right now. We appreciate your time, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Bring me back. I'd love to come back and talk anytime.
Absolutely. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. I'm back with you Wednesday, 11 o'clock. Tomorrow we have Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Lots of things around the college basketball landscape to still talk about. And also on Wednesday, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We talk local sports subjects with him as well. That'll wrap it up for today. Catch you tomorrow. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.